To be people smart in ministry is to be very effective in our personality skills, in our sustainable personality skills, so that we can do a great job in serving the Lord and others. As we talk about clergy killers, maybe it's time to talk about us as the clergy, the ministers. Let's talk today about ministers who invite attack. Let's look at ourselves first. There are some ministers, although a small percentage of the total, who are disturbed by various pathological conditions within themselves that go untreated and invite criticism and attack. A pathological minister is one who has one or more mental, emotional, relational problems which severely aggravate members of the congregation. Some ministers do have serious personality problems that go undetected at first, but become obvious as time passes. At first, the problems are subtle and elusive, but in time, congregants begin to notice one or more of the following: excessive anger in the pulpit, a deeply depressive demeanor, extreme self-centeredness, unusual perfectionistic tendencies, abnormal attention seeking, an overly controlling attitude, an overly critical or judgmental stance regarding the behavior of others, or comments revealing high levels of anxiety. Simply put, the minister does not seem to practice what he preaches, or at least what he should be preaching. Now, seriously, as a student, if you're a person who's overly critical, you may have an incredible testimony of what God has saved you from. But if your life right now is one of anger, if you walk into a room and you bring depression, negative energy, if you are overly judgmental, overly perfectionistic, if you cannot work well in a team with volunteers, because essentially your relational issues bring everybody down. We can talk all we can about antagonists in the church, but I promise you, if you yourself have personality and relational issues that create antagonists, they will come. Satan will use that to sidetrack your witness. So, you want to know about pastors who bring harm and make sure that that pastor is not you. When the minister cannot seem to get along with competent or spiritually minded staff persons, when he must attend and control every committee meeting of the church, when he frowns more than he smiles, when he complains more than he inspires, if married, when his spouse appears to be beaten down and depressed, sometimes maybe even stop attending church, when he must be the center stage of all church meetings, when he is known for his angry outbursts, when the people of the church are going to be critical of him, then the people of the church will be critical of him, and understandably so. So, what's the problem? Maybe there's a mental illness. Are these ministers mentally ill? Certainly some are mentally ill, but others might be better described as dysfunctional. That is, they have one or more mental, emotional, or relational disorders that severely interfere with their ministry effectiveness. Now, many of you students, many of you graduates who are preparing for ministry have to take stock. Some of you have had lives where you forgive. There's very little bitterness. You do not transfer anger onto other people because God has not only saved you but healed you from many things that will bring you down. But some of you may need counseling. That before you go into ministry, you're being made well and healed as people. Neurosis. Even though the term neurosis is somewhat outmodeled today in psychological literature, even Christian psychological literature, it still conveys the idea of abnormal or outside the bounds of average. It suggests that unusual fears or anxieties prevail in the mind of the neurotic person. Even though there are certain cultural factors influencing our understanding of neurosis, for example, in some cultures, males are taught to believe that women during menstrual period may have an evil influence on others should be avoided. The term does suggest an abnormal cluster of fears adversely influencing one's interpersonal relationships as well as one's sense of personal well-being. So maybe you're a pastor with irrational fears or neurosis. Or you're a student or a graduate who senses the call in the ministry, but you're very fearful. This needs to be addressed. Because if you are, you will raise up well-meaning dragons who will look at you and not want to follow you. Some may say, well, this is one of my disabilities. I would encourage you to keep studying, but know that how God will use you is in a way that does not bring harm to you or those that you are ministering to. Maybe it's anger. If you're a very angry person, this will raise up well-meant dragons. This will raise up antagonists against your ministry. Now, anger is a normal and natural human emotion. It is one aspect of the emotional armory which God has given to humans. God has made humans, and we can react in righteous anger, in a healthy anger, in injustice, and so forth. We've been endowed with reason, volition, emotions that enable us to survive, and anger is one of them. All the emotions have a positive function, but if any of them is allowed to get out of control, much harm can be done to both self and others. This is especially true of anger. So, if you're a very angry person, it will be seen, it will hurt your ministry. Narcissistic. The narcissistic personality disorder is one often seen among troubled ministers. Knowledgeable and mentally balanced lay people are quickly turned off by a narcissistic minister. Arrogant, self-centered, attention-seeking, power-hungry, pushy, dogmatic, bloated with self-importance, explosive, manipulative, and sensitive, these ministers invite a lot of justifiable criticism. So, if you're going into the ministry and it's about your ego, it will be seen and that will be tested. So, let's talk about, very specifically, some characteristics of narcissism, just to make sure that we cover this amply. A grandiose sense of self-importance. Persons exaggerate his own ability and accomplishments. So if you find you come to a meeting and you're always selling how great you are, that could be a problem. Preoccupation with fantasies of beauty, brilliance, ideal love, power, or limitless success. Belief that personal uniqueness renders the person fit only for association with or understanding by people or institutions, rarefied status. So here's an example where somebody's really stuck on how valuable you are to some organization. The need of excessive admiration. These are characteristics of narcissism. A sense of entitlement. Person unreasonably expects favorable treatment or automatic granting of his wishes. Exploitation of others to achieve personal goals. Lack of empathy. Person does not recognize or identify with the feelings or needs of others. Frequent envy of others or belief that others envy him. Arrogance or haughtiness in attitude or behavior. These are all examples of narcissism in leadership. And if that is you, no amount of savvy will hold back the truth that there will be dissenters in your midst, and rightfully so. So let's talk about one more issue that ministers who invite critics have: the overly emotional or attention-seeking minister. Ministers who must always be center stage and very jealous if others supplant them in the life of the church will also fit here. If you don't have the ability to share ministry, to create stages for others and get off the stage and be less while someone is more, this will create antagonists. Here's some examples of these sort of pastors. Discomfort with situations in which the person is not the center of attention. Relationships that are frequently fraught with inappropriately suggestive or sexually provocative behavior. Expressions of emotion that is shallow and rapidly shifting. Frequent focusing of attention on self through use of physical appearance. These are all the things that ought not characterize the life of a pastor. Speech that is vague and lacks detail. Overly dramatic expressions of emotion. Easily suggestibility person is readily influenced by opinions of others and by circumstances. Belief that relationships are more intimate than they really are. Like, I have all these friends and all these, you know, when the truth is they don't have all those friends. So, I don't know who you are, but these are all important issues to address. Now, Guy Greenfield talks about how to address these issues, and this is what he says. Well, first of all, address the issue of poor or inadequate socialization. Socialization is the process of becoming a functioning human being. Most of which takes place in the context of the person's family environment. Some pathological ministers experience poor or inadequate socialization. For example, they may have learned more about competition or conflict than they did about cooperation in family interactions. Or they may have learned more how to use anger as the best method to get their way. Poor social skills learned in childhood will probably result in all kinds of conflict in adult years. So one of the reasons that this People Smart in Ministry class is so important is because many of you will learn things you did not learn in your own family. Some of the issues that you have to address are areas that were not addressed when you grew up. Maybe you are a child of a divorced home, and maybe there are issues related to that divorce that you still harbor, and you still have wounds and scars. These are issues even that it'd be good to see a trusted counselor and one by one address some of those bitternesses and hurts. Now, some of you may say, well, you know, I'll just be fine because I'm reading the Bible. Yes, read the Bible and get help. Assume, if you come from a divorce home, I would assume that I would need help. That's just an assumption. I'm going to make a generalization. If you were victimized by divorce at, you know, at a young age, 8, 10, 12, 14, 18, and you were faced with this, assume that you have issues. Just assume it. Really, do that. Assume that you need help. Maybe you experienced abuse in childhood. Related to the above, when a child has been severely abused during his early developmental years, he is more likely to become an abusing adult. Ministers who are abused in childhood often become bullies, tyrants, or even sadistic adults. They may hold a core belief that says, I was hurt by others as a child, now I will get my revenge and hurt others. The childhood abuse may have physical, sexual, emotional, or verbal, or neglect. These types of abuse in childhood have an effect in ministry, and you will raise up antagonists that will quickly see those areas and they will launch right into you. Maybe you have unresolved anger. Humans can learn an angry lifestyle quite early in life. Being a defense mechanism, anger may be a response to any perceived threat. If a minister often observed his father abuse his mother physically or otherwise, he may as an adult choose to be verbally abusive to men in his church who remind him of his father. That is, he projects onto others what he continues to feel about his father. Back to that divorce situation. Or maybe you've experienced a divorce and you have anger toward the opposite sex over that divorce. To try to lead those in a church, a whole variety of people, many of these people will push buttons, so to speak, against you if that anger is unresolved. Maybe it's deep-seated insecurities. Fearful feelings out of one's past may continue to haunt one's present and future. Deeply rooted insecurities out of one's childhood may cause one to respond to stressful situations in ways that are counterproductive. Present circumstances may turn on these old tapes of insecurity and result in either fights or flight. Insecure ministers do not usually stay with any one church for a very long time. They have the core belief that says, if life gets rough, you run. Another possible core belief might be, if someone disagrees with you, you redefine that person as an enemy. This can create serious problems for a minister in a church where some people are bound to disagree with him at times. Also, since insecurity is a form of fear, these fears may become the fuel that feeds inappropriate outbursts of anger. Another issue to address is people or leaders who felt conditional love. These people are love-starved because of their being conditionally loved in their early childhood home. This type of background can create all kinds of relational problems in adulthood. Some such ministers enter the ministry expecting the church will be the family that will finally love them unconditionally. If that doesn't happen, disagreement, anger, depression will likely follow. Often a pathological minister is a discouraged minister. Maybe that person, that pastor, received an over-controlled childhood. Some pathological ministers were raised in a home where one or both of the parents were over-controlling. A domineering mother is usually the culprit. Such parents tend to rob a child of two very necessary ingredients for maturity and stability: freedom and taking responsibility for oneself. Under these circumstances, deep-seated resentments may develop that persist into adulthood and can spill over into a minister's behavior in a variety of pathological ways. Alcoholic or drug-addicted parents, or maybe that's a past that you've experienced. Pathological ministers often reveal that they had alcoholic or drug-related parents, one or both, when growing up. The damaging effects of such a family life are widely observed in clinical practice. The fear, insecurity, anger, continued resentment felt by these children continue long into adulthood. Now, if you've had a past where you yourself were a drug user, you yourself experienced many substance abuse type of issues, and you've gone maybe now to AA, or you're getting past so many things, remember that some of these pathological tendencies could be in you, and you really want to be self-aware. Maybe there's a chronic physical or medical problem that you have in your past. Some pathological ministers may be struggling with chronic physical or medical problems that have never been detected or diagnosed by a physician, such as being bipolar. These are all issues that affect ministry greatly. Maybe it's burnout. Brooke Faulkner has given us the best discussion of the problem of burnout for ministers in his book, Burnout in Ministry. Burnout is physical, emotional, mental, spiritual exhaustion that results from a human being trying to be the superhuman in his or her vocation. Burnout could be called the career exhaustion that results from failing to recognize the limitations of one's humanity. Oftentimes, ministers experiencing burnout will behave in ways that turn people against them. Just as a misbehaving child is a discouraged child, so a burned out minister can be misbehaving minister who does things that causes people to criticize him. Sometimes burnout is an expression of clinical depression. So, now we're looking at ourselves. As a future Christian leader, I would even invite you to go over this tape again, even to this very point, and write down on a piece of paper, as you listen to this presentation again, is there anything that I need to be alerted to before I lead in the house of the Lord? You know, pastors, we are given the charge of human souls. This is a precious thing. We're to proclaim the gospel. So we want to be very, very careful that in general, we don't have quicksand within our own psychology, our own brain, our own personality. And if there is something like that, that we begin to address it. Ministering to in the healing of pathological ministers or even students going into ministry, I would add that. Greenfield suggests this strategy. I suggest a fourfold strategy for ministering and healing for the pathological ministers. There must be awareness, diagnosis, therapy, encouragement, and protection. So awareness, diagnosis, therapy, and then encouragement and protection. And that last one is together. First of all, awareness. Pathological ministers must know that they have a major problem that needs to be addressed. So as a student, if you have a pathological aspect, address it. If you have recognized yourself somewhere in this chapter, it was not written to condemn you, but to help you. The tragedy of most pathological ministers or future ministers is that they do not believe they have a problem of any sort. They practice denial in the utmost. Their problems, they think, are caused by others whom they are quickly to blame. So the first thing is self-awareness. Now, I'll tell you about myself. I always assume that I need more work. I always assume that I need to work on that. I always assume that that sinful nature needs to keep being addressed. I always assume that something in me is to be improved by the power of the Holy Spirit. And one of the things that I've done and I continue to do is I open my life up to trusted people like my spouse and great mentors to help me become self-aware. Now, for some people who have deep struggles because of trauma like divorce or trauma like abuse in your past, it is very important. It is not a bad thing to get some counseling. In fact, embrace it. Say, how fun is that? I mean, you know, I like to golf. And I want to get better and better. And for the first time last year, I took a golf lesson where I really sat down with a golf counselor. And it was fun. And I learned some pathology in my golf swing that was just there from my childhood. Because I've been golfing since I was a young person. And it was liberating to find these problems and to address them. That's how we have to think about our pathology or those issues that hold us back. Figure out a way to get aware. So if you are hurting, remember that pain, even emotional and relational pain, is symptomatic of some deeper problem. Treating only the symptom, for example, getting rid of a staff person or maneuvering critical lay leaders out of office will not solve the problem in the long run. If the problem is resistant in you, awareness of the minister's problem by both lay leaders and the minister is the beginning of a step towards solutions of conflict issues and the resulting criticism. Now, if you're someone who's praying about being a leader, this is the time now to address these issues and get a diagnosis. Professional help is usually needed to diagnose the nature of the minister's suspected pathology. Such help could come from a clinically trained pastoral counselor, a psychiatrist who is sympathetic to religion in general, and church life in particular, a clinical psychologist who has empathy for ministers, or even an experienced older minister who has considerable wisdom from working with troubled ministers over the years, and who is knowledgeable concerning professional referral services. So you really want to find out if there's something in me that's holding me back from ministry. There are several psychological tests available from many therapists that a minister could take in assisting a diagnosis. Two that are widely used are the Minnesota Multifaceted Personality Inventory, MMPI, and the Basic Personality Inventory. Either of these can be administered by most licensed professional counselors. Both tests are highly respected by professionals and have proved to be helpful in identifying pathological conditions in one's personality. If you are aware of some personal pathological condition, then for your own sake, Greenfield says, for the sake of your family, for the sake of your church, get help immediately. Be brave enough to admit that you need help. God has someone for you to help you who is professionally competent, who will keep the matter confidential. For the sake of the kingdom of God, don't just leave your current situation or don't just finish your ministry training, think all is well. Transfer your problem to another church or to churches, to the future, to your family. That would not be fair either to you or to the churches. It would not be fair to your future. The next thing is to get therapy. Therapy is the professional term for finding out what is wrong and doing something constructive to correct the problem. Moreover, therapy is a process of healing for a pathological condition. Ministers who tend to create problems in their churches seldom take a hard look at themselves. They are sometimes prone to live in denial. Denial is not the place to be. Denial is a place where there's a problem, but you're just running away from it. Engaging in a process of therapy will enable pathological ministers to carefully examine the facts and the feelings regarding the problems in his life and ministry. The therapy process could take several weeks, several months, depending on the depth of the pathology. So right now as a student, deal with your, if there's a pathological issue, deal with it now. Psychotherapy is actually talk therapy, where a person seeks to find understanding, support, encouragement, healing for the overwhelming and the debilitating problems of life. In an atmosphere of empathy, trust, confidentiality, the counselee is guided by the therapist to use the new insights to make fresh commitments regarding healthy change in both emotion and behavior. Without therapy, most pathological ministers will never recover. Now, therapy is really talk therapy, and talk with someone who has training and experience to help you overcome that pathology. The fourth thing a pathological minister or someone who is called a minister who has pathology within themselves needs is encouragement and protection. Ministers or graduates now or students with emotional behavioral problems do not need condemnation and rejection. In other words, you are called to ministry. That's why you're here. You sense that call. They need encouragement. Lay leaders and other ministers, counselors reaching out to them in love and guiding them into therapy. These wounded men and women of God need to know that someone loves them and cares about them and their future in ministry. However, encouragement does not mean coddling them, urging them to believe that the problem will work itself out, and that the critics are just cruel and merciless. Encouragement is rooted in reality, not fantasy or self-pity. Encouragement, therefore, can be painful because it forces the recipient to face up to the facts of his pathology. Encouragement, therefore, can be painful because it forces the recipient to face up to the facts of his pathology. Many pathological problems have an addictive element. It is very difficult to break the power of an addiction, but persistent encouragement from lay leaders, other ministers, counselors, along with loving, redemptive attitudes and help in finding the right therapist is often what is needed to bring a successful result. So, in conclusion, a minister who is striving to overcome pathology, a pathological personality problems, needs protection from any wolves who would destroy him. Often Christians have zero tolerance for pathological ministers. They have no patience, no mercy for the afflicted minister. Here's another place a minister's advisory council needs to step in and function effectively to redeem a difficult situation. Churches must stop shooting their own wounded. Now, at Christian Leaders Institute, this is a sobering time to really talk about who you are. And whatever that is that could potentially hold you back in a big way, this is the time to deal with it. Pastors, parishioners, elders, deacons, mentors. And when you find this issue, remember what Galatians talks about when Paul says, Brothers, if someone is caught in sin, in a sin, you who are spiritual should restore him gently. Watch yourself, or you may be tempted. Now, I bring this passage up because here's my last encouragement on this topic. So, here you are as a student, and maybe you've identified something in your life that is very difficult. Now, as you address it and you get healing, as you're being transformed by the Holy Spirit through the Bible, the Word of God, through some encouragement, talk therapy, to face these issues and these hurts, what happens is you learn how to grow and to change. But all the things that you learn become powerful in sharing the gospel to other people. Because there will be people with pathology in your congregation. There will be sin's pathology. I mean, we use the word pathology, but that's sin. Sin has affected each person. And the redemptive power of God given to us in community, where we address these things so that we can be more and more effective. And as you learn how to address the issues in your own life, you can bring that forward to help others to address the issues in their life, and even more, be a more powerful, effective witness for our Lord Jesus Christ. So, if you are struggling, it's understandable. We all have struggled. But now this is the time to be people smart in ministry, is to not allow your struggles to get in the way of encouraging and leading people in the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ.